You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Really noticed yet a lot of us that come to the rec room pretty often, we don't feel like this is just coming to a service. And by the way, rec room is not church. We can't call it church. But it is a time of worship. We appreciate you being worshipful and honoring God when you come in. But we feel like it's kind of a family, don't we? I mean, the rec room means a lot to a lot of people, and it's been a very big part of a lot of our lives. This song is one about the family. There's a family Bible on the table. Its pages torn and hard to read, but the family Bible on the table will ever be my key to memory. At the end of day, when work was over, and when the evening meal was done, Dad would read to us from the family Bible. And we'd count our many blessings one by one. I can see us sitting round the table when from the family Bible Dad would read. And I can softly singing, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, left for me. This old world of ours is full of trouble. Anybody got trouble tonight? But this old world would oh so better be if we'd find more Bibles on the table and mothers singing Rock of Ages cleft for me. I can see us sitting round the table when from the family Bible Dad would read. And I can hear my mother softly singing, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. How I love to hear my mother softly singing, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. I enjoy that. Thank you so much. Good to see y'all. All right, if you take your Bibles and go to Ephesians 5, Ephesians chapter 5. I always enjoy getting to come and speak at the rec room. It is a blast for me to get to do so, and I appreciate you giving me the invitation. I appreciate Leland for that. I want to talk to you about some things tonight that, as you look at it, you may look at it and go, I don't know if that's possible or not. And I'll just tell you that everything I'm going to talk to you about, things that from this passage that I'm still struggling with, because I certainly have not arrived. So every day, the things that we're going to talk about, some of the things that I'm still trying to get a hold of as well. We're going to talk about family tonight, okay? So Ephesians 5, and we're going to start somewhere around verse 24, 25, somewhere in there. God put this message on my heart tonight just to speak to you. And I was thinking back of some experiences in my life. I've had the privilege of being able to go to numerous spots in the world and do mission work. I've tried, rather than going to a bunch of different places, I've tried to go one place and just stay there with them. Just continue to go back, build relationships and so forth, plant churches. For about 12 years, I got the privilege, God blessed me, to go back and forth between here and South Africa. And I really enjoyed South Africa. And we worked on planting a church there. We had a ministry relationship with a gentleman and his wife, and it was just marvelous to get to work. Now that relationship, some things happened, and we're not there anymore. And God's blessed us to be able to go down to Peru. We planted a church down in Peru, and that's awesome. I'd love to tell you about that, but I'll tell you about that later. The times that I was in Africa, I would notice families. Family dynamics. I would notice what families were like. We worked in the townships and the villages there in South Africa, some of it very rural, way out in the country, and some of it is close to cities and bordering cities and larger urban areas. And they had some very odd things that they did, some things that were very immoral in their culture. I remember one time speaking to a group of school kids. And they could take a room that was a quarter this size. They could pack 500 kids in that room. Some of the best discipline I've ever seen. Principal would have kids come in. He'd line them all up in a row. Have the next group come in, line them up right behind. Next group come in, line them up right behind. And you got 500 kids, and I mean, just at the snap of a finger, they would get quiet. I mean, some of the best discipline I've ever seen. Shame our schools. And I used to be a public school teacher, but. Anyway, there was one principal, and they'd let you come in and share the gospel all day long. Just ask them, they'll let you come in and share the gospel. And so that's what we would do a lot of times. We'd go talk to school children. And I remember one day, this one principal, he had a Bible and had a different kind of looking cross on the front of it. And I asked my host, I said, what is that? What's that cross a little different? What's that all about? And he said, well, he's a member of a particular church. And he said that church has some real problems because they have a custom. I'm just gonna get real blunt with you here. So they have a custom that the pastor gets to sleep with any woman in church he wants to, and he will place his shoes out on the front porch so that if the husband comes home, he will know that he's in there having sex with his wife. And That just blew my mind, you know. I mean, that's one of those things I can't comprehend that, the immorality of that, the other customs in that culture they would tell me about. If a man leaves home to work and leaves a family behind, because there's a lot of poverty there and they have to travel to get a place to work. Leaves his family behind, it is the responsibility of the next oldest brother to take care of the family and take care of his wife. And I don't mean just take care of his wife's monetary needs, but take care of her sexually as well. And so the custom is that the older brother that's away, he knows this, so when he comes down the road, he's supposed to whistle and sing and make a lot of noise. So if his brother's in there, he'll know he's coming. He can duck out the back door and kind of save face. You know, they can kind of do this in a way that protects their pride, I guess. All that just, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And you find those cultural things like that are completely immoral. And because of those things, it causes things like AIDS to be rampant in that culture. You go by a cemetery and you would just see one fresh grave after another, row after row after row. Funeral, many, many funerals every week, because the percentage of people that have full-blown AIDS is just incredible. You see kids, you see babies, really, kids raising kids because there are no parents in the situation anymore. Just a complete, absolute, utter breakdown of the family. And so I would look at that situation each time I would go, and I would go about every year, every other year, something like that, and I would just look at the different family dynamics there, and it was just heartbreaking. I'm not being condemning in what I'm saying, because I love the people in the Republic of South Africa. I love to work with them and got many fond memories that are there. But it was just amazing how bad the family was. So think on that. But then when I would get back to our culture, I would notice that there's a complete breakdown in our families as well. We're more sophisticated in the way that we hide it. And we make it more palatable, so to speak. It looks a little nicer, but there's a complete breakdown in our families as well. And so I thought, what does God's Word have to say about the family? About family relationships? And so this is what, I'll just give you my heart, this is what I have to dig back into when I look at my own family, when I look at what the atmosphere in my home is like, when I look at how I treat my wife, how my wife interacts with me, how I interact with my children, and how I raise them to go out into the world, and what kind of people are they going to be? Because you see, we're going to be shocked by the stories that I told you there tonight, but apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and when I read this to you, this is a wonderful instruction of how we are to interact in the family, but it's really a picture of how beautiful the relationship is between Jesus, who is the bridegroom, and the church, who is the bride. And that picture that is wonderful and beautiful really instructs us in our families. So some of the things I'm going to read you tonight, it's going to kind of take you aback and go, I don't think I like that. And a lot of that is misunderstanding about certain words, what they mean. And we need to have the right biblical definition of what some of these words mean. We're going to look at the word submit here in just a moment. You need to understand what that really means, and it's a beautiful concept. And so we need to go to Scripture and say, Lord, what do you want from us and our families? But you see, in order for families to be fixed, in order for cultures to be fixed, the family's got to be right. And we got to go back to what God says, because God's Word is designed for our freedom. Not to put us in chains, but so that we'll be free. And so some of these things on the surface may seem like, well, that's restricting me. But let me tell you something. When you are a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the restrictions that He puts on your life are for your ultimate freedom. Okay? So all that to preface what I'm about to read here. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look in verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. I want you to get right meaning on that. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Let's pray. Jesus, speak to us tonight by your word. And Lord, let us walk out of this place different. Let us live differently. Let us walk differently. Let our families be different. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you and we praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now let me say this. I'm going to go really quickly here. Before I go through each part of the family, I want you to know something. You may look at this and go, that's not what our family looks like. I've never experienced family like that. Or we're still in the middle of trying to get our families to look right. This may be completely foreign to you, but can I tell you that if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. And so, don't worry about what has gone behind you. Think about what is here, what is now. Start where you are. And think about what the Lord has designed for you and the family. Now, first off, let me just kind of start where it starts here, and let me start with wives. What this says to wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's Savior of the body. Now, what does that word submit mean? A lot of times we have trouble with that. And ladies, I know when you hear that, it may just kind of take you aback. What do you mean submit? Because if you've had abusive relationships in your life, the first thing you think is, well, you're telling me to be a doormat. You're telling me that I'm supposed to be walked over and I'm supposed to be abused. Is that what you're telling me? Absolutely not. You have to understand words in the context of Scripture and how it's taught. Submit is a beautiful thing. Submit never means to be a doormat. My wife submits to the leadership that I provide in the home. I submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is a weighty thing that is upon me as she submits to my leadership. She graciously submits to my leadership, and it's a wonderful thing. And it never means that she's a doormat. I don't walk over her. I don't abuse her. I take her advice. We talk about things. We make decisions together. There are some things that the wisdom of a husband, if you're truly wise, you'll say, she does some things better than I do. She knows some things better than I do. And I will defer many things over to her because she has wisdom in areas that I don't. We complement one another. That's why the Lord put us together. She's a helpmeet to me. Okay? And so submission is never an abusive thing. So don't ever think, I'm supposed to submit, therefore I'm supposed to be a doormat, and I'm supposed to take abuse. That's not it. Gracious submission just means we understand the order of the family is God has given us the order of that family. And God's order is always right. And if a husband will submit the way he's supposed to, then he'll treat you right, and it'll be a wonderful thing, this idea of submission. Now listen, let me tell you this. I'm just going to be bold with this. There is only, in any organization, any entity, there's only one head. Okay? If you see something with two heads, it's usually on display at the state fair or it's in a jar of formaldehyde. It didn't survive very long. Things don't function well when they have two heads. And so Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the family. We're supposed to submit to him as dads and husbands. And he's the head of us. And he says to you men, you're to be the spiritual head of the home. You're to submit to me. And then that makes everything right. So wives, when it tells you submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, that's not an abusive thing. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Did you know that there is a submission within the Godhead? You know? I mean, the Son is submissive to the Father. The Holy Spirit says, or works and moves and convicts as the Son and the Father tell him to. It is a wonderful thing. This idea of submission. So that's just a word to wives. Now, wives, let me tell you something. You ought to want a husband that will deal with you in the right way and treat you wonderfully. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment as well. But there's also a word here to children. And all of us here have been children at one point or another. I don't know what your background is. Your background may not be very good. But there's something here said to fathers in chapter 6. Children, obey your parents. And this is said to children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. do your very best to do that as the Lord strengthens you. It doesn't say if your father or mother always does what's right. There's some of this stuff I can't expound on tonight. I don't have time. But they don't always do what's right. Cut them a break. And as you can, as the Lord leads you, honor them, even when they don't always do what's right, because you're doing it ultimately as unto the Lord. So children, see, this puts everything right if we'll go back to what God says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Some versions say, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And you know what? That's difficult on me as a dad. I've got three boys. I've got a Nathan's a senior this year. I've got a 15-year-old that's a sophomore there at Permian, and I've got a 12-year-old. 12-year-old's bigger than the other two. I was saying a while ago, my 12-year-old he weighs 190 pounds and has a size 12 shoe. My 17-year-old is 5'7" and weighs 150 pounds. They have an ounce of fat on him. He's just cut. He's ripped. And he's completely different. My 12-year-old, he's just kind of a chunky kid, and he's just big, and he could probably whip my 17-year-old. You know, they're just built completely differently. But you know what I found out about those boys? Those boys exasperate me. Nathan, Andrew, and Daniel, they exasperate me. They provoke me at times. But you know what? I'm told as a dad that I'm not to exasperate them. That I am to be the adult in the situation, and I'm to love them, nurture them, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. But to children, God puts everything right. We're to honor father and mother, regardless of what our background is, and regardless of whether you had it good or bad. You do the best you can in that, as the Lord leads you, not out of your own efforts, but as the Lord leads you and works and moves through you. So there's a word to children there as well. You notice I also read you a word about bondservants. Slavery was a huge thing in the Roman Empire. Some estimates 60, 70, some say maybe upwards to 80% of people in the Roman Empire were in some form of slavery. Some of them sold themselves into slavery to pay debts, to make their position in life better. It was just part of the context of the Roman Empire. So Paul wrote in that context. It was no endorsement of it, but he wrote in that context. Now, move that over to our culture today, and you could move that into our culture in terms of a boss-employee relationship. So something said here. As God works in the family, we're supposed to then move outside of that family. When we go to do our work, what does it say here? Don't do your work for eye service. What does that mean? So, sometimes we work, and we work hard when the boss is looking at us. And when the boss is not looking at us, we slack off and we do what we want to do. But that's not what we're to do. Not as being men pleasers. But God pleasers, not for eye service, but we look beyond that boss and we say, Lord, I want to honor you. I'm submissive to you, Lord God. I want to honor you in the way that I work. So we look past that boss and we work the very best we can, because the Lord Jesus is standing back there behind that boss, and we look to him and say, Lord, I'm working for you. You know what will happen in that process? If you work for the Lord Jesus, then you'll make the very best employee to that master, to that boss. You'll make the very best employee that you can for him. And then the word to the boss is, treat your employees right. And treat them like you would want to be treated yourself. And you look beyond them and you look to the Lord Jesus. And you say, Lord, how should I treat this employee? And that's how you treat them. Not like you're treating them, but how you're treating the Lord Jesus. If you look beyond your boss, if you look beyond those that are under you in employment, and you look to the Lord Jesus, it'll set all of that right. Now, very quickly, we'll hit this last point, because this may be the heaviest responsibility right here, because since the husband is the head of the household, guys, this is a word to you. And you may have never seen this before, but let me tell you something. You can today say, whether I've ever seen this before or not, I can put a stake down today and determine that I'm not going to do the things that I have seen. My family's not going to be what was in my background. I'm going to do something differently, because this is what the Word of God says. And whether I think it's possible or not, God can do the impossible when you yield to Him and the Spirit works through you. Now look at this here. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. There's a cleansing effect that happens when you're the husband that you need to be. There's a sanctifying effect that happens. What does that mean? The word sanctify means to be set apart. You set apart your family for good when you're the husband and the dad that you're supposed to be. Husbands, love your wives. Interesting, isn't it? It didn't tell the wife to love the husband. Why? Because God has wired ladies to naturally love. Ladies may have been so harmed by this world that that has been dulled and that has been hardened. I don't know what your situation is, but God naturally wires ladies to love. But men, we are hard-headed, aren't we? And so while the lady is told to submit to that gracious leadership, guys that are so hard-headed that we ought to know to love our wives, God has to say it in plain English to us. Guys, what you ought to know, here's what you do. Love your wives. Now, how did he say to do that? As Christ loved the church. He said, now, wait a minute, I don't want to love my wife. I don't like her very much. Sometimes you don't like your wife very much. And she probably doesn't like you very much. But the command is not to always like each other. The command is to love. Now, you love as Christ loved the church. Right? So how did Christ love the church? He went to the cross. He gave up everything. He sacrificed everything for the church, for you. That's how you love your wife. Now, do you think if you could love your wife in that way and you could sacrifice everything for her and you laid down your life for her, do you think it would set things right in the home and she would be able to graciously submit the way the Word says that she's supposed to? It sets things right. You see, everything is screwed up in our world today because we have forgotten or we've never known, whatever it is, what the Word of God has said about family. Work is screwed up because we don't know what the Word of God says about family and how husbands are supposed to take their place. Marriages are messed up because we don't know what the Word of God says, or we disobey what the Word of God says in regards to what a husband and a dad ought to be. Children are angry at their parents. They are embittered because their parents spent their whole lives exasperating and provoking their kids. And then you have your kids and you spend your life exasperating and provoking your kids and they provoke you back. And God's Word says, I got something better. Now here tonight you may say, I've not ever seen that. That's okay. And I'm sorry if you've not ever seen that. But I'll tell you this. I have to struggle with this every day. Because my wife, Amy, she knows who I am. She knows who I am behind closed doors. She knows the face that I have when I talk to you, and she knows whether that's real or not because she knows whether that's the same at home as it is out in public or whether I just talk a good talk. My kids know. They know my faults. And sometimes I got to go to my kids and I got to apologize to my kids because I let you down. I showed you something that wasn't good because I wasn't acting right. They see, they know who Dad is. See, the greatest responsibility is lying right there on Dad and husband. You may not be in that position right now, but the young man, if you're not married right now and you won't be married one of these days, here's where you go to find out how to do it. That's it, right there. And if you'll do that, you may think that's restrictive. If you'll do that, let me tell you something. What God says for you to do will be your ultimate freedom. Be your ultimate freedom. Cultures all across this world are broken down because we've not done what the Word of God says. And you will find ultimate freedom in that if you will just listen to the Lord. Amen. Dig into His Word and find out and do what He says. There's an interesting verse, and I'm going to close because I got to. It's got a minute or two. Over in 1 Peter 3 and 7. Now, this is an interesting verse here. And husbands, I want you to take this as we leave here tonight, or future husbands, or you may think, I never want to be married to a woman again. Wherever you're at, God may change your mind if He gets a hold of you. Listen to these words, 1 Peter 3 and 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them. That's your wife. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. How important is this? Your prayers are going to be hindered if you don't live with your wife in the right way. And you live with her with understanding. You love her. You honor her. As to the weaker vessel, ladies, that may be offensive to you. It's not an offensive thing. Let me explain it to you. If you've got, my mom had dishes in her house. She had two sets of dishes. She had a set of stoneware that we ate on. She had a set of china that if we touched it, we died. The china was delicate. It was to her, it was priceless. The stoneware was an everyday thing that we used. Both of them served their functions. See, God's word here is saying men are like stoneware. But ladies, He's created you like fine china. You take that. You take that and you internalize that. He created you like fine china. Amen. Some of you men may argue and say, oh, I've seen ladies that look more like stoneware. I've seen ladies that look more like crock pots. But let me tell you something. Let me just tell you, there's some rough ladies out there. I know that. My wife's cousin is a fire captain. He takes people in the ambulance to the ER all the time. He said, man, ladies that work at the ER, he said, those nurses, he said, they eat their young. You know, there's some rough ladies in the world today. But let me tell you, as a general rule, this is how God creates us. God creates men in a certain way. We're like stoneware. He's got certain duties for us. We are to be the head of the home. God calls us to be, and I unapologetically say that. But ladies are like delicate fine china. He wires them up internally in a different way. And we are to honor them, and we are to love them. This is what I strive to do in my home with my wife. And man, let me tell you something. When you treat your wife in that way, she will turn in return. She'll respect. And it is a wonderful thing. And then your children get to see that. And then that goes down to the next generation rather than all the destruction. Guys, so much responsibility is on you. And it starts right here in this room tonight. Okay? Bow your heads with me. We're going to have an invitation time. And we're going to give you a chance to respond. Now you say, how does all this begin to work in my life? Remember I said, this is a picture of the church. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Church is the bride. Now, how do you begin to live this out in your life where you change today and your family legacy is different from this day forward? You don't repeat the same past mistakes. You give your life to Christ so that you're part of the church. Church isn't this building, these four walls. The church is the people of God. And if you give your life and your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you'll be a part of the bride. And that's how you begin to know what it is to be the man you're supposed to be. Ladies, that's how you begin to know what it is to be the lady that you're supposed to be in Christ. Men, you have such a high calling in life. Ladies, you're wonderfully made, created like fine china. God wants to do something in you if you give your life to Him tonight. In the quietness of this place, listen, don't just repeat these words. But if this is your heart, you can pray this, and Jesus will come into your life tonight. If this is your heart, if you've not done this before, you don't have to keep repeating this, but if you've not done it before, if you've never done this, ask Jesus into your heart, you can tonight. Just say to Him, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I turn from that and I turn to You. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sin. Now, Jesus, I ask You to save me. Now, listen, the words don't have to be perfect. If you just cry out to Him, He'll hear your heart. And just say it to Him, Lord Jesus, I ask You to save me. Thank You, Father, for the work that You're doing in this place. And I pray that tonight will be a brand new day. Forgetting what is behind, we press forward. We press upward, onward to that call that You have given us in this life. And let people say, today our family's going to be different. Thank You, Jesus. Blessings on this group. And I pray if one here tonight asks Christ to save him or her for the first time, that they would come forward here in just a moment. Thank You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet tonight. Leland is going to be up here. I'll be up here. If you prayed to receive Christ tonight, we want to invite you to come. If you need other, if you need prayer over something, we invite you to come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Have you done what God wanted you to do? Would you come?
I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am, and tossed about with many conflict, many doubts, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Bow our heads, head bowed, and eyes closed. Thank you again for being here. Thank you for what God's doing. Before you leave, come by and shake Brother Ivy's hand. Thank him for some great information from God's Word tonight. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you cover everything in our life. Not just going to heaven, but living right here in Odessa, Texas today. That everything that we need in our family, in our relationships, in our job, everything is an employer-employee. You provided us with your word that covers it all. So, Father, help us not only to learn your word, but then help us to be obedient to it. Thank you for those that have come. Thank you for those that are here tonight. Bless us through the week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Freshman bar is open.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.